Investment flash.
Iran blinks, an NVIDIA CEO says buy the dip. After a brutal tech sell-off, is it time to reload? We'll sort it out.
Good morning. It's Monday, June 8th, the New York edition. I'm Marie with Tom and Gerald. Markets got hammered last session, but the signals today are all about leaning into the fear.
No kidding. Remember yesterday we said sell the Nasdaq? QQQ dropped another 5%. But now NVIDIA's CEO is out saying the sell-off in tech stocks is a buying opportunity.
Yeah, look, 16 times forward earnings for a stock that's pinned to hypergrowth. That only makes sense if AI capex holds. And with a growth scare, that's a big if.
But hold on. Huang isn't just some analyst. He's the guy signing the capex checks. He says the AI buildout is just beginning, and the stock is 13% off highs. We've seen these dips get bought before.
Exactly.
Right?
Analysts revising price targets after the fact is basically a free retirement plan, but okay.
Fair. But seriously, Huang runs the company. When he says buy, the market usually listens.
And the bigger story today? Iran blinked. They announced an end to attacks on Israel after Trump's plea for a ceasefire. That's a huge tail risk evaporating.
Oil down 2.7%. Gold crushed 3.6. That's risk on. I'm buying SPY here.
Middle East peace is never permanent. Selling oil right now might be early. USO is still up 93% year to date.
No, but that's exactly the point. The signal is to fade the geopolitical premium. Gold is unwinding. Equities catch a relief bid. It's a short-term play.
So we've got NVIDIA and Iran both screaming, buy the dip. That's a rare convergence.
And then there's the Permian. CNBC analysts are pounding the table on dividend payers. Viper, Permian Resources, Chevron. Yields up to 5%.
Chevron with the Hess deal unlocking value, still 13% below its high. I like that. Viper yielding 5% and tied to Diamondback's inventory duration? Sign me up.
5% yield only works if oil prices hold up. If the Iran de-escalation knocks down the risk premium, these names could slip.
Exactly. You can't have it both ways. But as a relative value income play, they offer a cushion, and they're trading well below highs.
Look, even with a dip, oil at these levels is massively profitable. The free cash flow covers those dividends, and we're still in a structural supply deficit.
Structural supply deficit, with oil down nearly 3% last session. All right.
Okay, anyway, watch Blackstone. They're looking to sell $2 billion of private fund stakes by bundling them into bonds. Big test for the secondary market in PE.
This is a key read on private market appetite. If it flops, BX shares, already down 39% from their high, could slip further, and high-yield bonds would take a hit.
And I'm worried about the structure, packaging illiquid stakes into tradable bonds right when markets are fragile. Feels like 2007 CLO vibes.
If demand falters, that's a signal private valuations are too high. But if it works, it validates a huge pool of illiquid assets.
Deja vu from 2007. But hey, better risk models, right?
Yeah, famously work.
Indonesia's foreign reserves fell for a fifth straight month, the longest slide since 2018. The rupiah is getting hammered. The ETF hit a 52-week low.
That's a canary in the coal mine for EM outflows. When reserves drain like this, central banks eventually impose controls and equities crash. Sell EIDO, rupiah.
But is it systemic? Indonesia alone doesn't tank global markets, right?
Add Turkey last week. It's a pattern. EM stress is a headwind for risk appetite globally. We can't ignore it.
Fair. Short Indonesia makes sense.
Goldman Sachs just downgraded H shares in favor of A shares for AI exposure. FXI down 12% year to date, while ASSH is up 5%.
finally, a way to play Chinese AI without the Hong Kong index hangover. Rotating onshore. I'm long ASHR.
China A-shares are still China. If growth disappoints, AI theme or not, it will sell off. And the property overhang is still there.
But the trade is relative. Sell H shares, buy A shares. No directional macro call needed. Goldman's making that exact point.
Exactly.
100%.
And this one's wild. China's rare earth exports to Japan dropped 80%. That's a massive supply shock. Long REMEX, short Japan equities.
REMEX up 15% year to date, still 21% below its high. I'm in. This is a geopolitical hedge on top of a secular supply deficit.
But if global demand for EVs and electronics slips, rare earth prices will come off regardless of export cuts. It's not just supply.
Gerald, an 80% cut isn't a subtle policy tweak. It's a weaponization of materials. The supply disruption trumps demand concerns right now.
Sell EWJ. Japanese manufacturers will feel the input cost pain on autos and tech.
All right. Beijing's serious about using rare earths as a lever. Fine.
Michael Saylor posted his famous dot chart again, hinting at more Bitcoin buys by strategy.
MSTR down 74% from its high, but a relief bounce could be violent. When Saylor buys, the market follows.
A tweet isn't a buy signal, and strategy is under growing scrutiny.
But corporate buying often provides a floor. It's high risk, but the speculation is right there. A bounce could be sharp.
Saylor's dots are the new Fed dots. Unpredictable and forward guidance that never quite lands.
At least his dots are sometimes deep.
CoinDesk has the most original take. Bybit is pushing tokenized U.S. stock IPOs, starting with SpaceX, letting retail buy at underwritten prices. It directly challenges Wall Street's IPO monopoly.
This is massive, bypassing the banks to give retail a fair shot at pre-IPO allocations. Finally.
The SEC won't allow this quietly. Tokenized securities are a gray area, and this is a lawsuit magnet.
But if it works, it changes everything. The regulatory battle will be intense, but the convergence of crypto and traditional finance just accelerated.
All right, our view, the tape was ugly. SPY down 2.6, QQQ down 4.8, NVDA down 6.2. But the signals scream contrarian. Iran blinked, Huang called the dip.
Counterargument. This could be the start of worse. NVDA cheap only if AI capex holds, and EM stress hints at a macro chill. Bond markets aren't risk on. IEF hugging lows suggests recession risk. If Friday's CPI prints hot, dip buyers get run over.
And the missing piece, the monetary policy calendar. The ECB meets this week, and a single article warns of a 2011-style error if they hike into weakness. The Fed's blackout period looms. The real regime driver, whether central banks are still tightening into a slowdown, is under discussed.
But when a CEO like Huang says buy the dip after a 13% drop, I listen. The secular tailwinds are real.
You listened to Cisco in 2002, buddy.
Okay, point taken. But this time it's not different, but still.
Cleanest expression of today's crosscurrents, long Permian income like Chevron and Viper versus short growth, say QQQ, as a hedge against further derating. And the rare earth supply shock is a volatility play on Beijing.
If you truly believe Huang, a long QQQ with a stop under 680 is disciplined, but keep it tight.
I'm in. Iran takes a tail risk off, and Permian yields are a safe haven in a growth scare.
As always, none of this is investment advice. Today's signals, buy NVIDIA, S&P, Permian. Sell gold, Indonesia, 8 shares. Buy A shares, rare earths, and maybe Bitcoin on Saylor's hint.
If you're just finding us, hit follow on Spotify or check investmentflash.com for the full digest with charts and sources.
We'll be back tomorrow, 7:30 London. See you then.